We lift you high above all the earth. We exalt you above every problem, every situation, every concern, every worry, every doubt, every sickness, every disease. Amen. We exalt the name of Jesus above all of that. Amen. Our kids are staying up from Sunday school for another week or so. We're just trying to be cautious on levels. And also some of our teachers have been sick and have had life problems, you know, things that they're dealing with. So we do have packets that we've handed out to all the kids. If you did not get one, there are packets available for you. There's things for them to work on, and we have prizes. Also, if you get your packet done and bring it to Miss Kim, she has a treat for you if you've not already gotten one. So we're thankful for that. We do have a nursery area back there, or, you know, we have area if you need to, if your kids need a break and need to step out for a little bit, that's fine. We don't worry too much about all those things. Amen. I like the sound of kids in the house. We need to have the sound of kids in the house, and so that's awesome. And we're thankful that you're here today. Thank you for coming out. Thank you for being a part of us. And the sunshine was amazing today. It was so nice to see the sunshine. When we left the house, it was hitting on the snow, and it just looked like diamonds everywhere. It was pretty. Don't throw anything at me. It was pretty. For those of you who are snow lovers, you've had quite a year. For those of you who are not, God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. It snows on the just and the unjust. Right? Amen. And we're counting down the days to spring and to warmer weather, and nobody's happy with the groundhog right now. And, you know, he predicted all this more weather for us, so here we are, right? But we're not in Texas. Bless our hearts. And people all over are suffering with the weather and the winter temperatures and the freezing and freezing pipes. And churches that we know have had water bust and pipes flood their churches. And there's a lot of things going on right now. How many know there's a lot of noise right now? There's a lot of noise in so many ways. Noise, you know, voices of the noise, just noise everywhere. And I want to talk about today a little bit. The title of my sermon this morning is called When God Whispers, or God of the Whisper. And so I want to talk about that a little bit this morning. But we started out in this topic that I was talking about. We talked about a couple Sundays ago, and I think we had to do it online, but we talked about barefoot before God. Amen? Did any of you get to see that, about being barefoot and blessed before God? And when Moses came out of the wilderness, and he had slain the Egyptian and buried him in the sand, and he left Egypt, and he went out into the wilderness, and he was keeping the sheep for Jethro, his father-in-law, in the wilderness, and he had been there about 40 years. How many know 40 years is a long time to be in the wilderness? How many know that 40 days is a long time to be in the wilderness? 40 months, 40 hours, 4 hours is a long time sometimes. Can somebody say amen? And so he's in a time of quarantine, so to speak. He's in a time of silence. He's in a time where he has left the leaders, some of the greatest leaders of the time. And he's left the palace, and he's left what he knew to be his life as he knew it. How many know sometimes life gets shook up? And things shift and things change. And how many are good with change in here? How many of you are good with change? One. And that's an iffy, right? Yeah. We're not always good at change sometimes, right? Change can be good. Change is necessary. Change is opens the realm of possibilities, but sometimes we don't deal well with change because change is not comfortable. Amen, right? Are you with me today? So, I mean, no, Moses has himself in the wilderness for 40 years. And it's in that season of quietness, of isolation, of transition, of not knowing the next step, that how many know God shows up and begins to speak to Moses out of a burning bush. And he starts to say things to him, and he says to him, "Take off your shoes, for the place wherein you're standing is holy ground." How many know God's not talking about the literal geographical spot that Moses is standing? Or else there would be a shrine built there today, right? if the spot where he was standing was the magic spot, we would all want to go find that spot, right? And so he's not talking about where you're standing geographically, Mosey. What he's talking about is where you are standing in this time and this season right now. He said the place wherein you are standing, where you are in your life, where you have come to in your journey right now is a holy spot. Why? Because it's a time of transition. It's a time of God's command of speaking to you. And he said, take off your shoes, for the place wherein you are standing is holy ground. How many know when we take off our shoes, we relinquish our ability to walk out God's purpose in our life, and we trust him to do it? I mean, Moses had to take his shoes off and say, God, I trust you that I'm in covenant with you. I trust you that this place, this moment, this season, this spot is a place of transition, a place of power, and a place of that will propel you into the next season of your life. How many know what was behind Moses was not near as powerful as what was ahead of him? And what I've continually tried to say, and the Lord, I believe, has spoke to me in this season is in our time of silence, in our time of isolation, in our time of quarantine, God is directing our voice. God is speaking in this season. But what I see in all of the leaders that God began to raise up in the Bible, out of that season of quietness, God did some of his greatest miracles. Do you believe that this morning? When Jesus told his disciples after John the Baptist had been beheaded, how many know Jesus, after the loss of John the Baptist, one of the first connections he ever had, remember in the womb when John the Baptist leaped at the sound of Mary's salutation, and I believe at that point Jesus and John were joined together. When he hears of the beheading of John the Baptist, the scripture says, he says to his disciples, come ye apart and let's rest a while. Anybody ever just needed a season of rest? Just needed a season of quietness, just a moment to go up, you know, just stand back from the crowd, to stand back from the demand, to stand back. If you've walked through grief, if you've walked through loss, if you've walked through sickness, if you've walked through, a hard stage in your life, sometimes you have to step back for a little bit. You have to gather your mind. You have to gather your spirit. You have to be in one with the Father. How many of you got to hear the voice of the Father? The Spirit, and the scripture says, and they prayed and they went apart and they rested for a while. But does anybody know what happened when they came out of that season? What happened is when they came out of that season, the multitude was waiting. And Jesus did one of the greatest miracles in the New Testament, where he feeds the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Do you remember that? See, our season of quietness is sometimes in preparation for one of the greatest seasons that's yet to come. When God propels us out of that season of quiet and out of that season of rest, he propels us and sets us up for a miracle. Anybody in here ready for a miracle today? Come on, I'm not even just talking about in the natural. There are some things, I don't know about you, but there's some things that I'm trusting God for and I'm believing God for, that I've got to put it in his hand and say, God, in this season, set my heart right, set my faith right, set my spirit in tune, that I can hear your voice, that when we walk out of this season, that we are ready for the multitude that is waiting for the word and for the bread and for the fish, because I believe God wants to do. I believe God wants to speak to the multitude. How many know there's multitudes in the valley of decision today? Multitudes looking for a word of encouragement. Multitudes of people that are living in fear. Multitudes of people that just need to hear a word of encouragement. Amen. And, you know, we said it a couple weeks ago, we talked about the woman who, had the little bit of oil and the little bit of meal. Remember, and Elijah came to her, and he asked her for the little bit that she had. And what happens sometimes when you're in a season, how many know she was in a season of drought? She was in a season of loss. She was in a season where things were turned upside down, right? Sound a whole lot like the season we've been in? Yeah. And she's in that season, and yet the demand of God is on her. He says to Elijah, he said, go to Zarephath because I've prepared a widow woman there to sustain you. How many know God went ahead of Elijah before he ever got to the widow's house to prepare her heart to give? And when he gets there, he says to the widow woman, can you get me a drink? And out of obedience, she goes to get him a drink. And then he says, and while you're at it, on your way, could you bring me a little meal or a little cake? One interpretation says a biscuit. Can you bring me a biscuit? And she says to him, man of God, I have a little bit of meal and I have a little bit of oil. And I'm gathering sticks because I'm going to eat this little bit, me and my son, and then we're going to die. Now I submit to you this morning, the only thing that makes a mama give the biscuit to the man of God is because God's already prepared her heart. Come on, somebody, I'll give you my biscuit, but I have a hard time giving you my baby's biscuit. Anybody in the house with me? Like, I'll give you my little bit of meal, but I have a hard time taking it from my kids and giving it to you. And when she takes out the last of yesterday's bread, the last of yesterday's oil. See, I think what happens sometimes is we want to live off of what things were yesterday when God is trying to shift us and transition in us into what he wants to do today. And sometimes we fall in the rut of always doing it the same way and always looking for it yesterday. But till God can clean out yesterday, he can't put in fresh in what he does. And I said it before, it was a setup for a fill-up because God didn't want to take the last of what she had and leave her desperate or desolate. He wanted to fill her with something new and alive and fresh and something that she can not only feed her son or feed her child, but she could feed her village. And if there's anything that I think we need to remind ourselves in this season is who we are and what's in us. Amen? Because there's a demand on what's in us. But I believe there's a season where you take care of body, soul, and spirit of yourself and allow God to refill and to refuel and to refresh you. But I wanted to read a scripture out of Psalms 93 this morning. Psalms 93, 1 through 5, out of the King James, and it says, the Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength wherewith he had girded himself. The world also is established that it cannot be moved. Thy throne is established of old, thou art from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters. I want to read that again. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters. Yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. The testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. It says that the Lord is mightier than the noise of many waters. How many know there's a whole lot of noise right now? There's a lot of noise. There's a lot of chaos. There's a lot of murmur. There's a lot of noise. There's a lot of voices. There's a lot of stuff going on. Amen? And I think sometimes we have to remind ourselves that God is mightier than the noise of many waters. How many know sometimes you've got to cancel the noise? How many know you got to silence the noise sometimes? You got to silence the constant invasion of noises and what filters through your mind. Amen? The psalmist said, he anoints my head with oil and my cup runs over. Why does he anoint the head? He anoints them to keep out the nose flies of the sheep or the things that bug the sheep, right? And you know, I just feel like that when we remind ourselves that he anoints our head with oil, how many know that everything that has to then that passes through my mind or passes through my head or my suke or my thinking has to pass through the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I got to start filtering some stuff through the Spirit. I got to filter some stuff through the anointing. Anybody ever had to just get rid of some just stinking thoughts and mindsets and emotions and things that just wear on your head, wear on your brain? But I want to talk about the God of the whisper today, because you cannot hear the whisper of God if it is drowned out by the noise of everything else. Amen? How many know stress is a noise? Fear is a noise. Anxiety is a noise. Depression is a noise. Hopelessness is noise. Doubt is noise. How many know they're the loud noises that get inside your head like the nose flies of the sheep, and they bug you? And they drown out that still small voice inside of you. Amen? And sometimes if you're not careful, those the sounds of those noises can drown out the whisper of God. So I want to go to 1 Kings chapter 19 this morning. We're going to talk about Elijah. Remember, we just talked about Elijah filling the oil and the barrel of the widow. And I want to read this chapter. There's so many different little points we could talk about, but I just want to talk about when God whispers today, the whisper of God of the whisper. Ahab reported to Jezebel. Now remember, this takes place when Elijah has just been on the mountain, and Mount Carmel, and he's called down fire from heaven and challenged the prophets of Baal. Do you remember the story? If your God is God, then let him answer by fire. If Elijah's God is God, let him answer by fire. And God sends fire at the call of Elijah. He consumes the sacrifice. God gives Elijah victory on the mountain with 400 other prophets who are prophesying everything other than what Elijah's prophesying. Amen? So as this happens, Ahab reports to Jezebel what has just happened, that Elijah had done, including the massacre of the prophets. Jezebel immediately sent a messenger to Elijah with her threat. The gods will get you for this, and I'll get even with you. By this time tomorrow, you'll be as dead as any one of those prophets. Jezebel, the wife of Ahab, sends word to the mighty man of God, the prophet Elijah, and says, if I have anything to do with it, you will be as dead as those prophets by tomorrow. Now, Elijah had just battled with 400 prophets of Baal, right? But one voice says, by this time tomorrow, you'll be as dead as they are. Why is it that we give so much? We can have the confidence we can have someone speak, you know, great things over you. But when you hear negativity, how is it that we give so much weight or energy, or we allow that one voice to take precedent? And isn't that how we tend to, you know, we can have 100 people speak good, but one person is negative, and we give all of the weight to that one voice. And so she threatens Elijah. And so Elijah saw how things were. He ran for dear life to Beersheba, far in the south of Judah. He left his young servant there and went on into the desert another day's journey. He came to a lone broom bush and collapsed in its shade, wanting in the worst way to be done with it all, to just die. Enough of this, God. Take my life. I'm ready to join my ancestors in the grave. Exhausted, he fell asleep under the lone broom bush. Suddenly, an angel shook him awake and said, "Get up and eat." He got up, ate, and drank his fill and set out. Nourished by that meal, he walked 40 days and nights all the way to the mountain of God, to Horeb. When he got there, he crawled into a cave and went to sleep. Then the word of God came to him, "So, Elijah, what are you doing here?" I thought thought I skipped one, sorry. Then he was told, go stand on the mountain at attention before God. God will pass by. A hurricane wind ripped through the mountains and shattered the rocks before God, but God wasn't to be found in the wind. After the wind, an earthquake, but God wasn't in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, fire, but God wasn't in the fire. And after the fire, a gentle and quiet whisper. Talking today about the God of the whisper. When Elijah heard the quiet voice, he muffled his face with his great cloak, went to the mouth of the cave, and stood there. A quiet voice asked, so Elijah, now tell me, what are you doing here? Elijah said it again, I've been working my heart out for God, the God of the angel armies, because the people of Israel have abandoned your covenant, destroyed your places of worship, and murdered your prophets. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me. God said, go back the way you came through the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael, make him king over Aram. Then anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, make him king over Israel. Finally, anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel-Meholah to succeed you as prophet. Anyone who escapes Hazael will be killed by Jehu. Anyone who escapes death by Jehu will be killed by Elisha. Meanwhile, I'm preserving for myself 7,000 souls, the knees that haven't bowed to the god Baal, the mouths that haven't kissed his image. He looked around, and to his surprise, right by his head were a loaf of bread baked on some coals and a jug of water. He ate the meal, went back to sleep. The angel of God, I think I got that out of order, didn't I? That's all right. I've been working my heart out for God of the angel army, said Elijah. The people of Israel have abandoned your covenant and destroyed the places of worship, murdered your prophets, and I'm only one left, and now they're trying to kill me. Let me know that God began to speak to Elisha, and he's in the cave. Do we have any cave dwellers in here this morning? Does it sound a little bit like where we've been in the last year or so? And the scripture said that Elijah, the great man of God, is exhausted. He's frustrated. Do you hear that in the story? And he goes a journey, and the scripture says, and he falls down and he collapses. Basically, he sleeps, and the angel shakes him and says, get up, the journey ahead of you, rise and eat. And Elijah goes back to sleep, and he wakes him again, and he gets up. And how many know the scripture says that the angel had bread and water, had angel food cake beside him and water for him to drink. Amen? And so he begins to shake Elijah, and he gets his attention, and Elijah goes from that place where the angel is ministering to him, and he goes into a cave. And when he gets to the cave, God comes to Elijah, and he said, Elijah, what are you doing here? How did you get here? And the scripture says that God comes in the earthquake. I mean, the earthquake comes, but God didn't speak in the earthquake. And he comes in the fire, and he doesn't speak in the fire, and the wind and the rumbling. How many know so many people are looking for God in all of the turmoil and stuff that's been going on and want to say that it's the judgment of God on our country when God wasn't in the fire, he wasn't in the earthquake, he was in the still small voice. And so many times we want to blame everything that's happening on God when God's saying, what are you doing here? You know, and I don't know about you, but I've been in places in my life where I've had to ask myself, or God has asked me, Lisa, what are you doing here? Like here. He doesn't mean geographically. He means spiritually, what are you doing here? Because I don't know about you, sometimes I have to get myself to the place where I can hear the whisper of God. Because as I started out before, we talked about the noise of many waters. There is so much noise everywhere. And it's so easy to get your focus on off of what God said, who God is, and what God wants to do, because we're so focused on the noise around us, when God just wants us to have that time of intimacy where when he whispers, we hear his voice. I want to hear the God of the whisper. I don't necessarily need to see the God of the fire or the earthquakes or the shaking. I want to know, God, what are you saying in this season? What is your purpose? What is your will? And what I love about this is God doesn't let Elijah get away with where he is. He said, you need to get up, Elijah. Get up. Stand up. Show up. And he begins to speak to him because here's the thought that God gave me in this. We know that Elijah had done many miracles in his time, right? We know that he made the barrel not go empty in the oil. We know he called down fire from heaven. But what he's about to challenge Elijah to do may have been the greatest thing that Elijah ever did. And what he does is tell him, you need to stand up because there is a next generation of leadership that needs to be anointed and empowered and to be put in place for the next season of what I want to do. And I want to challenge you, even in this house, that what God is going to do in this next season is not necessarily going to be done just with the leaders that we have in place, but God is going to stir your heart, and he wants to anoint voices and leaders and kings and prophets. How many know Elisha did twice the amount of miracles that Elijah did? Jehu was a great king. Hazael was a great king. They were godly kings that led and that were men that were anointed by Elisha. How many know three people took the place of Elijah? See, it ain't over until you're empty. You need to pour out everything you have. And when I say that, you're thinking, oh, well, God doesn't want me to anoint the next prophet. God's not, he's calling, you know, the pastor might anoint the next prophet or the prophet of God might come through. But can I tell you, in your homes today, you might have the next worship leader. You might have the next pastor. You might have the next teacher. You might have the next doctor, the next politician, the next president of the United States. You know me well enough to know that the next president, the presidents of the United States need to come out of somebody's church. I just assume they come out of mine. Come on, somebody, because I believe we can pour into a generation of leaders that cause them to know who they are and to have a grounding and a footing and a calling that says when God speaks, I go. And we have missionaries or whatever it is that God will raise up in this house. See, there's people in here that have books yet to be written. There are songs yet to be written. There are inventions yet to be made. There are places yet to go. But if I think I'm the only one can do it, I'm going to get exhausted and frustrated and crawl in a cave. But when I learn that it's not for me to do it, it's for me to pour out into a generation and anoint and raise up people who know who they are in the kingdom. I mean, oh, God wants a change of kingdom. Do you know that the person that Elijah anointed went back and defeated Jezebel, the very voice that spoke against Elijah? The one you pour into, the one that you anoint, the one that you teach, the one that you train may be the very one that brings your victory. See, we talk a lot about wanting change, but we have to be agents of change. How do we change things? How do we change cultures? If we don't like the way that our culture is going, we train the next generation to change cultures. How many believe you're a world changer in here? Five of you believe you're a world changer in here. How many of you kids believe you're a world changer in here? One of you, two of you believe you're a world changer. Okay, we got some things to work on in here. There we got a world changer. Thank you, Michael. You are a world changer. How many know sometimes we're hesitant because we don't know? But how many know change in the world just happens one day at a time? One choice at a time. One moment at a time. Hallelujah. You know, I was talking about change and just different things and you know, just praying the other day, I said, you know, I know the God that brought me to where I am. I know the God that stepped into the middle of our story and changed our history. I know the power of God to do that. We know where we came, Sister Linda. We know where we came from. We know the power of God to rescue. And I've said it many times before in the church. Let me stop for just a minute. This is my Aunt Bob and Linda. My Aunt Linda and my Uncle Bob. This is Bob. This is Linda. And they just moved here to Morgan County. So welcome them to Morgan County. Hallelujah. And get to know them. They're wonderful people. But the woman that you might have changed our life, Linda, had no education. She came from an abusive, alcoholic background. But she believed in the power of prayer, and she believed in the next generation to pray and to witness. I talked to John the other day on the phone, and we were talking and praying about Mike and stuff, and he told me a story about one time when he was getting ready to jump out of an airplane, or they thought they were going to have to jump out of the airplane or something. And he said, I saw my mom's face, and I saw her praying for me. And he said, we didn't have to jump out of that plane. He said, God brought us back up and everything. He said, but I saw my mom on her knees. Let me just tell you that a mom on her knees can change things. Come on, a grandma on her knees can change things. A dad on his knees can change things. You guys have probably heard this story, and I'm sure I'll mess it up. But it was a story where they had went on the trip over, and they had, I forget who the great man of God it was, but they took him to his chambers, and he knelt on the floor, and they showed him the spot where he had knelt on the floor, knelt down by his bed on the floor, and they said, what are these worn spots on the floor? And they said, well, that's where he would pray every day, and he prayed on his knees till he wore the carpet bare in his room. And he said he would pray there. He said, God, do it again. And do it with me. Anybody see that clip? Do it again and do it with me. And he said they got that group of young leaders and they got back on the bus and they said, we're missing one person. Who are we missing? And the leader of the group went back and he went into the room and there was the young man kneeling down on the floor with his knees in those worn bare spots on the floor. And he was praying that same prayer, do it again, God. And do it with me. And the man said to him, Billy Graham, it's time to get on the bus. We gotta go. Don't you think that changing one person's life doesn't matter? There was another man who told the story. He said he'd had a revival, and he said out of that whole revival, only one person got saved. And he said he didn't feel like it was a success, and he didn't feel like he'd had a great revival. He said the only person who got saved in that meeting was Billy Graham. Come on, people, it may seem like a monumental thing, but you may just change the heart of one person. You may just change your heart. You may just change your house. You might just touch your classroom. You might just touch your patients. You might touch your career, your job, whatever it is. But whatever you are faithful to do, don't stay in the cave. Come on out, because there's still anointing in you. And what God wants to do is cause you, if I could take the anointing that I have, which is not my anointing, and Elijah empowers three people with the anointing that he has. How many know that's three more people besides Elijah that you empower? Now, here's one of the tricks about that. God whispers to Elijah. See, God's not yelling at you today. God's not yelling at America today. God's not yelling at political parties. He's whispering. And if you'll hear him, you'll come out of that solitary state empowered to anoint people who will raise up and change our world. Here's the one thing that I think Elijah did wrong. He said, God, I'm the only one. I'm the only one left that hasn't bowed the knee to you. And God said, Elijah, I have the reserves. How many are glad when God calls in the reserves? He said, I've got 7,000 just like you that's never bowed the knee to Baal. Here's what Elijah should have done. He should have connected to the 7,000. Because what we do sometimes is we get frustrated, we get angry, we get tired, and we draw away instead of connecting. How many know it's the connection? When he said, I've got 7,000 prophets just like you, Elijah. What if 7,000 other prophets raised up and anointed three more people to stand up in their place and empower a generation and a nation of people to step out and bring the change that God wanted to see in that season? How many are thankful that you don't stand alone? We don't stand alone in this season. And what I've always said, they said, you know, we have to social distance. That's the big word right now, right? Social distance. Well, we haven't really socially distanced because we've been able to do Facebook. We've been able to do live stream. We've had to physically distance. All you huggers out there, you're not okay. I see you. I know. I'm a hugger. It's not the social distance I miss. It's the physical distance that I miss. How many know believe that God was a God of touch? That when God came and there was a leopard, he wasn't afraid to touch the leopard. He was a God of touch. And he wasn't afraid to touch the man who was blind. He was a God of touch. How many know we need connection? We need touch. We need physical connection to people. Social, emotional, spiritual. Hallelujah. I called and prayed with Jenny the other day. Her and I had a Holy Ghost moment on the phone. You don't have to physically touch, but we were connected in the spirit and we were able to pray. Hallelujah. And the Holy Ghost moved. Hallelujah. I got to go visit Miss Wilda the other night. Took her cherry pie for Valentine's Day. We had a great visit. She was doing great. And she said to tell all you guys she loves all of you guys and she misses you. Keep her in your prayers. How many know those are people who've poured in? Those are people who've poured in. We would not be where we are today had it not been for the grandmas. And it might not seem like they were not, it might not seem like they were great prophets of God. But their encouragement and their words of wisdom and their impartation over the years have been valuable. And I treasure those things because wherever we go, we will always be a collection of the people that we allow to pour into us. How many can say today that you are a collection of the people who have touched your lives over the years? Amen. We are who we are because of people who have poured into us. So don't quit pouring. Don't quit pouring. Don't go in the cave and stay there. Start pouring into whoever you can. How many know there's something uplifting about encouraging somebody else? You ever had to cheer somebody else up when you weren't cheered up yourself? Yeah. Yeah, come on, you've been there. Where you got to speak life to somebody else and you're not sure if you believe it yourself. That's why the scripture says about speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. There's sometimes I got to quote the scripture and remind myself that the noise doesn't matter. I got to silence the noise. I got to listen for the God of the whisper of God, when God just begins to speak in the still small voice. Hallelujah. The God of the whisper. Sometimes you got to watch out for the prophets that call down fire from heaven and then run. Amen? We got some of them on the scene right now. They want to call down fire from heaven, but they don't stay around. One of the greatest things that Elijah did was anointed leaders and prophets. You're not done until you've poured out and trained successors. What he said to Elijah is, where are you? Number one, where are you? What are you doing here? What are you eating? Who are you listening to? And who are you empowering? It's four things I want you to take away from this morning. He wakes him up and he gives him angel food cake. And then he has to wake him up the second time to eat it. Elijah, what are you eating? What are you feeding on? What are you filling your spirit with? How many know you have to feed your spiritual man just like you have to do your physical man? Let me just tell you, if I fed my spiritual man like I feed my physical man, oh man. I mean, we have to feed that. What you feed, what you nurture will grow, right? So what are you eating? What are you feeding on? Heavenly manna? Angels ministering to you? Are you feeding off the voice of Jezebel? Where are you? How did you get here? And where are you going from here? Where are you? What are you eating? Who are you listening to? You can either listen to the voice of Jezebel, or you can listen to the whisper of God that says, this is not your place of residence. This is temporary. Somebody say temporary this morning. Wherever you are is temporary. If you'll listen for the whisper of God for where he wants you to go. And the last question this morning is, who are you empowering? When we're talking, are we talking victory? Are we talking defeat? Are we speaking life? Are we speaking death? Are we speaking hope? Are we speaking doubt? What are we speaking? Not only to the people around you, because listen to this. Our conversation, how we face situations, is the book that people around you will read. Say it like this. Little ears don't miss much. If God is God of the mountain in your house, he will be the God of the mountain. You understand what I'm saying? What we speak in, you know, over our kids and things like that, speak life. Pray over them. Anoint them. Empower them. Speak over yourself, because how we deal with situations and things teaches a lot as to how our kids will deal with situations, right? I still believe we are blood-bought, born again, anointed, appointed, salt, light, city set on a hill that cannot be hid. And what I want to challenge you in this season is that as we come out of this, come ye apart and rest a while, the multitude is in need to be fed. Who will bring the five loaves and the fish that God can multiply? How many know somebody had to come to that revival that day with the goods? How many know all God wants you to do is present to him what you have? He takes what you have and he multiplies it. But what I love about that, there was someone who empowered a generation before they ever got that day to see Jesus. So when they got there and the disciples said, we don't have anything, we don't have the goods. How many know in that multitude, I want you kids to listen to me this morning, in that multitude, it was not the disciples who had the answer. Jesus asked the disciples, how are we going to feed the multitude? How are we going to do this miracle? They said, I don't know, pulled out their pockets. My pocket's empty. We got a couple penny worth here. It wasn't the adults that had the answer. It was a young lad, a young boy, who someone had thought ahead enough to pack his lunch with five loaves and fishes that had filled his basket before the demand was ever there. Listen to me, somebody. Before the demand to feed the multitude was there, someone had an already empowered a young boy, a young girl with the goods, so that when he got in the presence of Jesus, all he had to do was submit what he had, and Jesus took what had already been put inside of him and fed a multitude with it. Don't count yourself as insignificant. David was a young boy and got picked out over all of the adults in the house to be the giant slayer. Samuel was just a young kid when he lived in the temple and God spoke to Samuel instead of speaking to the priest of the house. Amen. Our kids have purpose and ability now. And what you are pouring into them now will put a demand, when it's put a demand on them later, they've got the goods already in place. How many know you don't wait to play till you get to the field to learn how to play softball, do you? Baseball, whatever. How many know you better spend some time with a ball and a bat before you get there? If you're going to go play football, you better at least throw one before you get there. Right? You don't wait till the demand is on you to be able to start putting in what you need. How many know you need training before you get there? Hallelujah. Keeping our kids connected and keeping them empowered, keeping them confident of who they are and what God wants to do in them. How many know they got dreams, aspirations, colleges they're looking at? You got this. And don't let money ever be the voice that says you can't do it. Because I'm just going to tell you, if you want to do it good, bad enough, the money will be there. God can provide whatever it is you need to do what he's put in your heart to do. Amen? Do we have any world changers in here today? Thank you. That looks so much better. Amen. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet with me. You know, sometimes we want to blame everything on the devil. We blame the devil for everything. Can I just tell you, he don't even have my address. I don't even give out my address. He's defeated. The scripture said that Jesus took the keys of death, hell, and the grave at the cross. You serve a powerful God. The voice of the adversary has no business in your life. Sometimes the noise that we hear is not so much the voice of the devil as much as it is our own insecurities, our doubts, our fears, our hopelessness, our confusion, our despair. Those are the voices, the noise that raises up and speaks. But I want you this morning to just begin to listen to the God of the whisper. The God of the whisper. And I would just want to pray today over doors. Doors to be open, opportunities to be given. Amen. Whatever you're trusting God for right now, maybe you're trusting God for your kids. Maybe you're trusting God for your spouse, for a home, for finances, for a change, for relationships, for whatever it is you might be trusting God for. Hallelujah. I just want you to listen to his whisper this morning. He's prepared angel food for you. Hallelujah. And I want to silence all of the voices of negativity, the voices of despair and hopelessness that will come against your mind and, more importantly, come against your spirit. Jesus said to the disciples, your spirit indeed is willing, but your flesh is weak. Hallelujah. So what do? We renew our spirit, man. We have confidence in the God of our Father. Hallelujah. And I don't know what this next season looks like, but I'm not ready to stay in the cave. And I refuse to go down without empowering the next generation to stand up and be mightier, greater. Amen. And it takes all of us working together to make that happen. All of us giving faithfully. All of us serving faithfully. All of us praying faithfully to be a part of what God wants to do. Hallelujah. Hang out with the 7,000. Don't separate yourself. Don't segregate yourself, because that's when it seems like the earthquakes take over. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Go ahead and sing something, Beth.